Stan, let's sing that song, Holy Spirit, Rain Down, amen. Amen. If we can get the Lord to rain down like all the storms we've been getting, we'll be doing good, amen.
Amen.
And Holy Spirit, rain, rain down, oh rain down, oh Comforter and Friend, oh how we need your touch again, Holy Spirit,
sing that song, there is none like you, Lord. There is none like you, amen.
Amen.
Aren't you glad there's nobody like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen.
There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. And there is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. And I could search for all eternity.
fire. There's nobody touched you like our Lord has done. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And we just have a few announcements here. I don't know any of any prayer requests or testimonies, but we are having a men's work day this Friday. As early as you can get here, I'll probably be here 5, maybe 5:30, something like that. But so whoever would want to show up there, as far as the men wise, men, the earlier the better. But if you can make it later, that's fine too. And then also we're going to be having a Sunday school day for the Sunday school children there at the Kids Kingdom at 6:30 over there. Need directions? See Brother Bart. So, amen. So, all hearts and minds clear. Anybody else need anything? No. Just, anybody have need of from the Lord? Amen. Just raise your hand to the Lord. Ask the assignments to come lead us in a word of prayer. Amen. Also for the tithes and the offerings.
Over next door, so I just praise God for that. That was just really, it meant something to me. Let's just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, we love thee, God, Lord, and Lord Jesus, Lord, just give us strength, Lord, to die out, Lord, to ourselves, God, Lord Jesus, God, Lord, let us just ripen, God, in the word of God, Lord, in that S-O-N, God, Lord Jesus, Lord, may take all the green out of us, God, Lord, anything wild, God, anything left of the world, God, Lord, just help us, Lord, to die to you, Lord, God,
yes,
Lord, and just really, Lord, just get real sobered up here, God, Lord, and have nothing of the world attached to us, God, Lord, that could hold us down from this rapture, Lord. For, Lord, we see it in the scripture, God, Lord, time and time again, how you'd pull a bride out for your sake, God, and for your glory, God, and, Lord, you would use her, Lord Jesus, in this last hour, God, Lord, to glorify your name, God, and to glorify your purpose, Lord Jesus. We just love you, God, tonight. Lord, bless the saints for coming out, God. And Lord, thank you for protecting each one, God, during this storm, God, Lord. It seemed to shake many trees here, God, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we know that's just the type of the spiritual and the natural, Lord, together, God. And Lord Jesus, Lord, may we just dig our roots a little bit deeper into the word of God, God, that we can just stand just as tall, God, and as strong, God. And Lord, when trials come like that, God, Lord, if they may come here, Lord, soon, God, Lord, may we have our roots just set down and, Lord, founded in your word, Lord Jesus, God, that nothing could touch us, God, Lord. And we love you, Lord. Bless all the saints for showing up, God. Bless the tithes and offerings, Lord. And just have your way tonight at service, Lord. Be with our pastor, God, as he brings the bread of life, Lord Jesus, God. And, Lord, for these little us hungry sheep here, God, Lord, we love you, Lord. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ.
Just sing that song, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. Amen. We just thank God for just being so great. Amen. Greater than that the devil could ever even hope to be. I mean, he tries to always copy what God has done, but we know God always surpasses those things. Amen. Amen.
Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Than he that is in the world. Satan's like a roaring lion, roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells me so. Many souls have been his prey, to solve all in some way God. But God's promised us today his overcoming power. And greater is he that is in me. A greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. On the day of Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind blew and baptized all of them with the power greater than any earthly foe. I'm so glad I've got it too. I'm gonna let the whole world know. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me.
round of applause. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Just sing that song, He Set Me Free, He Set Me Free. Amen. How many are free tonight? Amen. By the grace of God, by the grace of Almighty God. Amen.
And once like a bird in prison I dwell, no freedom from my sorrow I fell. Oh, then Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, He set me free. Oh, He set me free.
Just sing that song, Higher, Higher. Let's lift up Jesus higher today. How many lift Him up every day? Amen. But we want to lift Him up more and more as that day approaches. Amen.
Amen. Higher, 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 higher. Lift Jesus higher. Higher, 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 higher. Lift Jesus higher. Lower, 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 lower. And lower, 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 lower. Some Satan lower. Cast your burden unto Jesus, for He cares for you. Cast your burden unto Jesus, for He cares for you. Wider, 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 wider. Spread the gospel wider. Wider, 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 wider. Spread the gospel more time. Higher, 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 higher. Lift Jesus higher. Yes, Lord, higher, 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 higher. Lift Jesus higher.
Amen. Give him a round of applause, saints. Amen. Like I say, you can't live any higher. Jump any higher than you live, amen. Amen. We're gonna live higher, higher every day. Amen. But this thing, that song, it's going home time. Amen. Amen. How many knows that it's going home time? Amen. As our pastor, Brother Camper, prepares, amen, if he feels led, amen, every last Wednesday service. Amen. We don't want to put God in no box. Amen. 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 It's going home time, we're justified by faith. It's going home time, we're sanctified by the blood. It's going home time, we are full of the Holy Ghost. It's going home time, and the bride is rapturing faith. It's going home time, we're justified by faith. Be my brother's keeper. Stand upon God's word, I'll be my brother's keeper. Till my change comes, amen. I couldn't think of the name of it. Amen. I believe my soul is raptured, amen. How many believe your soul is raptured, amen? Yeah. Ain't nothing that devil can do to take you out of that rapture, amen.
And I believe my soul is raptured, and I've seen it in heavenly places. I am sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of my redemption. So I'll wait till my chains come. Yes, I'll wait till my chains come. And I will pray my sisters through. I will be my brother's keeper. Demonstrate God's love, the agape love that's within me. So I'll wait till my chains come. Yes, I'll wait till my chains come. Oh, I will stand upon God's word and will testify of his goodness. I will praise and bless his name for the message of.
One of these days,
oh, one of these days it will happen for the
that song, I would not be denied. When pains of death seized on my soul, I would not be denied. By the grace of God, amen.
When pains of death seized on my soul, unto the Lord I cried, till Jesus came and he made me whole, I would not be denied. Oh no, I would not be denied. No, I would not be denied. Oh yes, till Jesus came and he made me whole, I would not be denied.
As Jacob,
the days of, oh yes, I wrestled with the Lord, and answered with the courage bold, I stood his only word. Oh, now I would not be denied. I would not, oh yes, Lord, denied. Oh, till Jesus came and he made me whole, I would not be denied. Oh, Satan said, my hallelujah, and would not hear my prayer. Thank God, though, but praise God.
I'll tell you what, has it become a revelation to you that you're coming into something with God? Amen. Really believe with all my heart that that's what the bride is doing right now. We're moving into position, amen. I know by the grace of God, I looked at the last 2 years of weather around here and it ain't been nothing but drought. And this year we ain't getting nothing but rain. Amen. And by the grace of God, maybe just to say something, but I look at what's been going on with me just even recently here. First thing was I had a bunch of notes that I prepared for the next time I preach. Yeah, my computer deleted all of them. So I said, praise God. I had all my other notes. A lot of the powerful quotes I had found that I hadn't got to yet, and I was getting ready to get to them, 22 pages worth. Gone. The notes for tonight's message, gone. Then I asked another brother to preach tonight, gone. Then the boot, my power went out, and my computer battery was down to nothing, so yeah, that was gone. And then, as what I always call funny is, I always call my log cabin, even with the lights on, I call it a dungeon. Well, I'll tell you what, when that log cabin doesn't have lights, it's even more of a dungeon. The light, it's gone. So by the grace of God, I maybe don't look at my face too close. I might have missed something I couldn't see. Don't look at my hair. Not worry about that. Don't even look and see if this shirt's got wrinkles, because I couldn't see that either. But I guess what I look and I thank God for, and oh, I forgot to tell you, I had two trees fall today as well, at least actually 1.5 trees, and of course one fell on my blueberry bushes and they're gone. My farmer's crops are gone too yet, but he don't know about that by the grace of God, but we'll have to get to that later on, an act of God. So a little bit of destruction, but I was just happy that God spared my family, and by the grace of God, we're here, and we've done the best with what we have, and you know me, I'm just going to depend on God anyway. So, but I just get this little feeling in the back of my head, or maybe back in my heart somewhere, I just say, God, you're wanting to take a turn around a corner, God, and Lord God, just help us, God. If you have to move, God, and just shake us around and do what you got to do, you go ahead and do that, God, because you know what? I am determined to make a rapture. Amen? Because said, yeah, we'll cancel church tonight. I got a lot of problems. Yeah. That doesn't matter now, does it? Because you know what? I don't come to be the preacher anyway. I come to let God be the preacher. I forgot, too, we had a freezer full of stuff thawing out. By the grace of God, we're moving milk and throwing that in the freezer and saying, hope that stays warm. And we're checking the internet with what power we did have on our phones. And you know, by the grace of God, we're like, oh, Lord, what do we do? Go by January. What do we do, God? And they say, well, let's put her in there. They say it'll last a day. So we put everything in there. And right when we were getting ready to walk out the door, power turns on. So I said, praise God. So I hope that's okay. Just sharing a little bit maybe, but life is good, isn't it? Praise God. Amen. Let's open up our Bibles to maybe a few portions of Scripture. We're going to go to Revelations 2, verse 12, and after that we're going to go to John 1:1 and read a few Scriptures there as well. So in Revelations 2:12, Revelations 2:12 here it says, and to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. Amen. Let's now turn to John 1:1. Love this scripture. John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen? Let's read this a little bit more here. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Amen? Now let's jump down to the 14th verse. Says here, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer as we get into this message here. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, we thank You, Lord God, for what You do, Lord Jesus. How, Lord, You... Oh God, You could send a train wreck our way, Lord, to make a move to get our lives into sync with You, Lord God. And God, we're very thankful for those type of things, God. And Lord, I pray if my heart would say one thing, it cries out, oh God, Lord, get us right, God. Get me right, God. Lead me to the place I need to be at with You, God, as I know, Lord, there's a rapture drawing near, God, as we see so many signs, God, an innumerable amount of signs done in this world, done in your church, done through the Word, God. Lord, how can we, oh God, neglect so great a salvation, God? And Lord, we just believe this evening, God, that you're certainly, Lord, going to come in the midst of us, God. I just yield myself to you right now, God. And I say, Lord Jesus, take over, God. I don't have anything to offer you as far as a merit, God, or as far as some sort of a study or preparation, God. But God, I offer to you myself, God. And God, I just ask, God, you take this vessel of clay, God, and you'd allow it to bring the Word to your children, Lord. And as they are, Lord, here as well, Lord, I ask that you just work in their lives too. And Lord, would you allow it to be so, God, that the Word inside of them, God, the Word that's made flesh again, God, would come on the scene, Lord God. Lord, maybe within ourselves is what we're talking about, God, as we're moving into this message, God, but speak to us. Wake us up, Lord. Oh God, stir it, oh God. Stir these vessels, God. Put things, oh God, in remembrance, God, to get us in condition, God. We offer ourselves to you, Lord. Holy God, with all our hearts, we cry revival. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. We're going to be working with Pergamos again this evening, but a little bit different of a direction that we'll be going with this. We won't be following, per se, the passage within the scripture, but we want to work with the church age book a little bit this evening and maybe put a few things into perspective. And as I've read these things, if I've found what I felt led to go this evening, I just get more and more stirred up with what God does, because you see, God cares so much about us, and it completely moves me aside to know that God would care so much that He would order these lives, He would order every situation that happened to you. He would be so complete within Himself that He would really give you no other opportunity but to serve Him. And, you know, when you're called, you're called. That's all there is to it. You know, in the Scripture where it says, you know, let him who is righteous be righteous still, let him who's holy be holy still. You see, the thing is, if God ordained you to be holy, you're going to be holy, and there's nothing that you can take away from that. So within all of that, there should be a renewed confidence in who God is. Because remember, you're not the one that positioned yourself. God is allowing you to be positioned by His Word, amen? You can't make yourself anything that God didn't already determine for you to be, right? And that's the great thing about it all, is because when you see bride and God says bride, that means bride, amen? So if we had a title, we'd just, like I said, working with Pergamos, this will be our second sermon on this. But we want to entitle it, The Word Was Made Flesh, amen? And by the grace of God, very simple thought, but I believe there's some things that we can learn through here, because if we would like to, I'd like to start out with a quote this evening from the church age book that we're going through here, and it would be in the Pergamene church age, 1960, 12-7, and it would be the 53rd paragraph. And I want to read this very quickly here just to give you the foundation of where we're going. It says, now on the background of this church, it's the third church age called Pergamos. And the date that this church existed was from 312 to 606. The age was, now this is the overview, this is what we read last week, and of course this still holds true. It says, the age was false doctrine, Satan lying, the foundation of papacy rule, and the marriage to church and state. The reward was hidden manna, a white stone. So the reward to this age was a hidden manna or a hidden word. Amen. Now, like I said, what I'm finding so amazing is even I was sitting there thinking, maybe it was last night or the night before, it was my bed. I was just kind of thinking about God and just kind of holding myself over as I was looking at certain situations that have happened in my life, or maybe even things that I've seen, and I was amazed because I was literally watching And I was saying, boy, Lord, that looks like the white horse rider. Boy, Lord, that looks like the black horse rider. And I was beginning to perhaps put conditions on things that were happening in my life. And then I thought about it and I said, but God, that's the reality of what you're trying to show me, is that it is a pale horse that is revealed in this day, amen? And that's why I can see myself as an eagle overcomer, because we're actually overcoming everything that the devil can bring out of the pot and throw at you. It's coming your way, amen? Because you have to prove that you are a son or daughter of God. Hallelujah. But notice here, as we begin to look at this, he says by foundation, and this is where we want to lay our scriptures at tonight and our quotes at tonight. He says that the Pergamene church age, in simplicity stated for what it is, was false doctrine. Amen. So notice, as we begin to move into this, we know that there's already a white horse rider that has passed, and now we're moving into a red horse, but the foundation of this church age falling from God was false doctrine, okay? So notice, if there's a false doctrine, there is a true word, as we realize that was what was given to the overcomer was a hidden manna, right? And we've went through that hidden manna, how that God would allow in Moses' day, he would allow what? He would allow a manna, the manna that was dropped down from heaven, to be what? Put in a pot and stored in the holies of holies. This was called the hidden manna, right? It was a revelation for the church and only those who would go into the position of overcomer. Amen. So, false doctrine, hidden manna. Here we see we're moving into a red horse rider, which is what? Significant of blood. And we find that here, no matter the cost be blood or life, we find that the situation remains true, that the falling away was not because of death or because of blood. But the principal foundation of falling away itself was the actual fall from the Word. So it didn't matter how many they killed. It didn't matter, so to say, a papal rise or a marriage from church or state. But what mattered was that they had literally fell further away from the true Word of God. They'd accepted creeds, they'd accepted organization, they've accepted false doctrine, and by the grace of God, we find that what they left God Himself, right? And because they left God, Satan was allowed to overwhelm and overcome them. Just think about how simple this is. As you think about the Israeli church, you see what God did to them. When they got away from the Word of God, God allowed them to be what? Taken away captive. Allowed them to be killed. And it was actually a sign that they left God. It was not a sign that Satan was overwhelming, but the sign of it was, is they fell from God Himself. You see, the same God that protected the Apostle Paul until his time was finished could have prevailed in that age. But remember, this was predestinated. They were predestinated to fall from God, okay? And that becomes very crucial now, because you see that this is where we are at. We are at the place where, remember, these things fight you now. These things fight you in such a way that you must receive the Holy Ghost. It's the only way. Now notice, they had a portion of the Holy Ghost for sure, but they what? They were quickly falling away from the Word. The messenger, as we realize and already covered a little bit, was Martin. And I found it interesting, because your prophet said, he said he was perhaps the greatest man that ever lived outside of Jesus Christ. Yep, we went over that one and took our rebukes. Brother Dave still remembers it by the sound of it. And you see, that's all right, because you know what? When he said, Brother Cam, I said, Brother Dave, what are you doing? You heard it. And then he says, and I said, glory to God. But you see, that's all right, because you see, the Word does need to anchor, right? What was that? Why did Brother Dave remember that? It showed that the Word had been anchored, which means what? That that Word had actually been received. If it fell on rocky ground, that seed word would not have stood. But because it fell on good ground, what, it was able to retain the revelation and allow God to anchor that word. Well, that's the word? Well, yeah. This ain't your church and it ain't my church. This is God's church. This ain't my church to operate, neither is it yours. This ain't my church to destroy, and neither is it yours. This is God's church. He will what? He'll allow one to rise. He'll allow one to fall. But at the end of the day, God will receive glory. That's why he could say, he said, even if no man worshiped me, God would allow stones to rise up and worship me. God doesn't even need people here tonight. Thank God he's allowed it. But he could let these pews ring out praise to him. Where's the mouth? I don't care. You show me where the mouth's on Iraq. God will let praise come forth. Praise God. So now let's jump a little bit farther. I'd like to read another quote, brother, if we could. In 169, the Church Age book, 169-4, Pergamene Church Age, I want to establish this fact, and then we want to get moving a little bit here. Got some, a lot of quotes to go through tonight, and I don't want to be fully intensely jumped into this, but I want to lay it down in a way that I can give you a little homework. Okay? So now, in this quote here, he says, now Jesus knew that there was going to be a terrible drift away from the Word in the Pergamene age, which was as yet 200 years off from the Patmos vision. So of course, God already wrote it in His Word. Notice what He's saying though. They were actually what? They were fulfilling the written Word. I want you to be very careful how you view things, because you might view it and say, okay, they should have been Ephesus, but that was not the written word. The key was they were fulfilling the written word. You have to be very careful about that, because if you look at it otherwise, you'll find a flaw with the word. That's what was a great mystery to me, because I looked, I watched the shadows and the types. I seen the menorah with seven golden arms and all these other things, the same flame. All of it had the bowls and knops engraved in it and beat into it. But by the grace of God, we realized they all looked the same. It was the same God, the same Holy Ghost, the same power. But what? If you look at it from a carnal mind, you say, how can the third one look like the first one? And if you look in your own life, you say, how can the seventh one look like the first one? But you don't understand that the Word has been expressed. The Word has been put in written form. And because it has been laid there, you will fulfill it. Without even knowing that you are right with God. You say, oh, I need a miracle. I must not be right with God. Well, no. You're right with God for your age. Did God not prophesy a famine in the land? The only difference was, is you weren't pulling on the famine. You were fulfilling the Word, but what was pulling in you was for the same Holy Ghost. Why? You see, that's why in the message, you'll find they say, we don't need manifestation. We don't need this or we don't need that. Because why? Well, sure, it's already been fulfilled there. Sure, it's going to be a dry time. But because they missed the Word, They don't see what they're supposed to be. Now, we're going to be getting into this a little bit tonight. You can get quiet if you'd like. Or you can get loud if you'd like. Or you can stay somewhere in the happy, mediocre land. So you just choose where you'd like to be this evening. I pray you'd allow the Holy Ghost to make the choice for you tonight, because He'll do a better job choosing than you ever will. And I'll do the best I can to get out of the way too. So notice here, he says, he knew that drift would cause them to go into the dark ages, okay? So notice what he say, there'd be a terrible drift from the Word of God in this age, which would take them into the dark ages, all right? Now, what was Smyrna? If you remember, I've said this a couple times. Your prophet said, he said that Smyrna was what? It was the rain and the nourishment to push into this age, as far as to push away from God further and further away from the Word. And now we see, because they sowed false doctrine, they sowed all these little details that we've went through. Right. Now we see a little bit more of a fuller picture of what this does. It's bringing on death. Now, if you notice the progression of these things, we go from white to red to black. You see, the further you get from the Word, the worse it gets for you. Okay? So notice here, he says, he knew that the way man originally got away from God was by first leaving the Word. Okay? If you leave that Word, you have left God. Thus, he is presenting himself to the church at Pergamos, and indeed to all churches of all ages. I am the Word. If you want deity in your midst, then welcome and receive the Word. Don't ever let anyone or anything get between you and that Word. This which I am giving you, the Word, is a revelation of myself. I am the Word. Remember that. The same God that told Moses and said, you tell him, I am that I am sent you. Now he comes around, he says, I am the Word. I am he that holds the sharp sword. That double-edged sword with the Old and New Testament, with the Spirit and the truth, that cutting sword. God is holding that sword. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, right? And now he says, don't ever let anything or anyone get between you and the Word. Now, this is paramount, because remember what Pergamos was. It was organization up at the top, and it was growing and growing. It was Nicolaitanism from the top, growing and growing. It was false doctrine, white horse rider from the top, close, further and further away. You say, brother, what are you trying to say? Oh, God, give me that Word. Oh, Lord, I want the Word, God. I don't want my wife between me and the Word. I want nothing between me and God. Hallelujah. And though in Laodicea, we find this to be the battle that what? Everything is trying to get between you and God. Every single one of you. But what is it? It is a reflection of Pergamos in your life. It's a pale horse rider fighting you, trying to keep you from your promised land. Where's your promised land? When you and the Word become one. Amen. Hallelujah. Now notice, I love it how he goes into this, and I find this to be so Amazing how this is revealed. Because notice what he says here. He says nothing gets between me and you. Just like Brother Simon preached on Sunday about Horeb. It's the same thing in Malachi from what it was all the way back here in Exodus. You think God is asking for a lot? All he wants you to do is make him number one. Don't get an attitude with anything except for yourself. We're the ones failing, not God or not this or not that. We're the one that dropped the bars down. We're the ones that let the goats in. We're the one that let Laodicea in. But thank God, because when I look, I see the Word, what? Taking you through the essential steps to deliver you right to the Ephesus church age. Oh God, why do I have to go through? Through what? The thing that everybody else went through? And they overcome? They overcome without an eagle anointing. They overcome with just an ox anointing. And we say, oh God, they overcome with a man's anointing. And here we are. We got the full eagle wings spread out. God's saying, come up here a little higher. And you're like, oh, but I'm stuck in this ox age here. Look at me. I'm going through Pergamos. Look at me. I'm going through Smyrna. Look at how bitter this is. And God said, you've got to get up there. Don't stay on the ground. You're not a chicken. It's all right if you want your chickens to like and you want them to eat out of your hand. But don't stay in the coop, brother, sister.
That's right.
Amen. But you just be careful you're not spending too much time with the chickens. I was thinking the other day, I spent a little time with my chickens trying to make them like me. I pulled out my mealworms. My mealworms were spoiled. You know, they send them worms out to you and they're dead, you know. I opened that thing, I'm like, whoa! I said, oh, Lord Jesus. He said, there ain't no more hand feeding going on here. So I shook the bag, and hear my girls come running. I said, girls, this ain't no love season now. I shook the bag out. Them chickens, I said, boy, there's fungus on them and mold and everything all over them nasty things. I just shake them out. I said, I ain't even touching that. My girls, they said, them girls jumped all over them worms and ate every single one of them. I said, I'm an eagle. I don't even touch it. There's a hidden manna that was revealed to me. I don't eat that dead, rotten, stinking word. I don't need those creeds. I don't need those dogmas. Let the devil fight like he wants, because I am a son of God. Hallelujah. Say, brother, we're still in Pergamos. We ain't got the Laodicea. But I'm overcoming Pergamos right now. That was all they were ordained to overcome. Not me. It's just a stepping stone. If you can't handle Pergamos, how are you going to handle the man's age? Right? How are you going to go higher than that? Oh, God. I mean, did you really get that? He brought false teaching and a killing spirit at the beginning. That was If we have the revealed word, what's that to us? They fell because they didn't have the revealed word. So now that we have the revealed word, we should be walking right through that. Because the only reason they fell is because they did not have the revealed word. Title deed? What? Angel stood on land and sea? Oh, hallelujah. That was done a long time ago. Where are we at? Pergamos? Devil, you go ahead and kill my chickens. You kill my blueberry bushes. I don't care. I'm walking right through it.
Yes, Lord.
Right? We got the word. Now, I want to move into this just a little bit here, and we'll go on after it. Some pretty interesting things being spoken here. 169, the Pergamene Church Age, brother. 169-2. It says, and there it is. You see, here's what happens, and let me just give you the overview. If you actually read this, you'll find out that what you'll actually see happening here is that Brother Branham, actually Lee Vail or whoever you'd like to say, actually goes into this offshoot, this offset, into who the Word is. What the Holy Ghost is. Okay? So, but what I find to be completely mind-boggling to me is he's placing this stuff in Smyrna. He's placing this stuff in Pergamos. And you know that's predestinated to be in Pergamos. Did God not already have that book figured out before the foundation of the world? Sure he did. He's omniscient. Of course he does. But notice here he says, and there it is. You can't claim the manifestation is the evidence of being spirit born or spirit filled. No, sir. I will admit that true manifestation is the evidence of the Holy Spirit doing mighty acts. What's he saying? He said the manifestation is the evidence of the Holy Ghost doing something. But it is not the evidence that somebody is filled. Now notice, even though that individual has an abundance of those manifestations. Now notice here in the third paragraph it says, the evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost today is just the same as it was back in the day of the Lord. It is receiving the word of truth for the day in which you live. Notice, Jesus never did stress the importance of the works as he did the word. He knew if the people got the word, the works would follow. That's Bible. Which is the full sincerity of the truth. When they brought the ark into the tabernacle, that's when the works followed. In the upper room, there are a bunch of scaredy cat cowards up there. But when the word come into that word, that room, what? It brought forth the works. What was it? There's a predestinated season for the word to come into that temple. There's a predestinated word for the Holy Ghost to fall in the upper room. It's called Pentecost. Because notice, this is what I'm working with you about. They were fulfilling the word to be cowards. because there was a predestinated season that the Word would come to them and what allow the manifestation of the works to be in their midst. It didn't matter how much David wanted to get that ark in the temple. It wasn't God's season. He was fulfilling his predestinated word. But what am I trying to tell you? Why would you ever hang your head down? I know, hey. I ain't Captain Happy, okay? Old gleeful, old jolly guy. I mean, like I should be. I'm really not. I have my seasons just like everybody else. But you know what the Word's telling me? This is predestinated. Do you realize what happened from the ascension of Jesus Christ, who said to go tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high? Looking at the resurrected Christ, they acted like cowards. They seen a guy who died, raised from the dead, not just raised from the dead, but they literally watched him go flying up into the sky, into the heaven.
Right.
And you know what they did after that? They went and hid like a bunch of cowards.
Right.
You say, oh, I just need God to do this. Or I just, oh, God, if you just show me that angel, I'd be all over it. They seen the Word resurrected, manifested right before their eyes, and they still failed to carry the Word in that position.
Amen.
But all they were doing is fulfilling the Word for the season. Oh, you ask, brother, why are you getting so happy? I don't have the relationship with Jesus that I want. I don't have the happiness, the joy.
Right.
I don't have the peace all the time like I want. I don't have the full deliverance from everything that I want. Can I stop there? You haven't figured out yet? But all I'm doing, filling the Word. That's deep. That's so deep. Don't you realize that you cannot make yourself something that is not the season for you in your life? But what raises you up when the revelation takes you higher? He told them to go up. They could only move by that revelation. They had no other revelation. He didn't say, go up there in Jerusalem and hide out. He didn't say that. He said, you tarry up in Jerusalem. He didn't say, you tarry. And you go around the street and tear the hides off of them.
Right.
You tell them what you see. You tell them you seen me. He didn't say that. He didn't say that. All he told them simply is, this is what's going to happen to you. This, go do it. You're going to receive power. And you go up there. He didn't say you go up there bold as a lion. That wasn't the promise. That wasn't the fulfillment of the word that he told them. They could only move with the word in its season for their predestinated lives. Brother, why are you getting so excited? I just don't get it. Because this revelation is true. Living Waters Tabernacle can be no more than what God has ordained it for this in the season. I can't look and say, oh God, there's nobody in those back pews back there except for Sister Jody, but she just sat down. God, it's over. Look at the two pews behind Sister Wendy. There's nobody there. It's over. If I do that, I'm not receiving the word that God has for me. You see, God is that simple, church. He called you to receive the word. I mean, are we seeing it? He said, don't worry about the works. Don't worry about having some sort of prophetic utterance, some great anointing. Oh, I've got to speak with tongues, or oh, I've got to prophesy. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. All he said was, let's come back to the word. All you have to do. Jesus never did stress the importance of the works as he did the word. He knew that if the people got the works would follow. That is Bible. You know what I find so amazing about that? In the scripture in John 17:6, understand that this is before crucifixion. This is before all these bad things happen. And in John 17:6, we realize this is a personal communion with Christ and the disciples and so forth. But he says in the sixth verse, he says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. God, you gave these guys to me. Thine they were. And thou gavest them me. And they have kept thy word.
Yes, Lord.
Right. Lord. Wait a minute. Before the crucifixion. Even at this place. He tells them that I must die. And there's a great confusion. There's a great sadness. And here he speaks and he says that they have kept the word. Peter says, you don't have to die. Jesus says, Satan, get behind me. They have kept thy word. Tarry with me for 1 hour, lest thy fall into temptation. Jesus come back, found them sleeping. Could you not tarry with me 1 hour in prayer? They have kept thy word. Well, what was the word? The predestinated word was, smite the shepherd and the sheep would be scattered. He knew they were going to fail. He knew they'd fall short. But all they were doing was fulfilling the word. When God said that you would be caught in a wilderness, you'd be caught in a desert. You look and you say, God hates me. I must not be one of his. But God looks at you and he says, they have kept thy word.
Amen.
He sees you not pulling. They've kept my word. He sees you falling short of what you're supposed to be. They've kept my word. Oh, Lord Jesus! Oh, God. God was asking them to come into a closer communion for strength. And they failed. And he said, you kept the word. These are mine. Now, notice here. Says, now that they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Everything you gave me, God, they know come from you. Well, don't you understand? They were failing because they didn't have the Holy Ghost. Just like we see in the church ages. God is sure allowed that white horse rider to come forth. But God still said, these are overcomers. Because he knew what they received. And that's what Jesus said here. He didn't say they kept it perfect. He said they received it. Now, and I have skipped that scripture. Let's move it to it. John 17:8, it says, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. What was that? Amen. That's what he told them. Amen. They were only to live the word that was predestinated for them to hear. And even some of the word that wasn't revealed to them, God still didn't hold it to them. Amen. He says, oh, ye a little faith. He says, come on, let's go. Let me show you how you're supposed to do it. Come on. I'm going somewhere with this. Yes, Lord. So notice here, he says, for I've given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. Before all of these things in which they backslid, they fall away, they hide like cowards, he says, they've already received me. So no, what is it? You're literally watching the unconditional covenant come back into effect. The same thing with Abraham, falling away, coming back, falling away, coming back. You're watching this move back into season. Abraham received Christ. Yes. He received God in Melchizedek form. Amen. And notice, they received Christ in word form. Wait. I'm jumping a little bit. I hope this is okay. But notice, he said they received the words that were coming from him. But notice, he was the word.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Glory.
They received the word himself. Now we're going somewhere with this. And have known surely that I come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Now, is Christ guessing here? He already knew, no matter how many times they failed, that they were going to stay with him.
Amen.
You realize that Jesus tried to scare them away. Jesus didn't baby them. In John 6, Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. And the 70 walk no more. This is a hard saying. And then, what is absolutely astounding, he looks at the disciples and he says, will you go away as well? Trying to scare away his own predestinated seed. Satan, get behind me. What if I looked at you? Satan, get behind me. Satan. And I looked at you like that, and I called you Satan. What would you do? Say, yep, it's my last day at Living Waters Tabernacle. I won't begin saying goodbye to the pastor, at least. The Word himself could come right up to Peter and say, Satan, get behind me. But what? Satan, what? Peter knew who the Word was. So when the Word would come and try to tear him down, amen. Good, he'd come right back. I love you, Jesus.
Amen. Lord. Yes.
He'd deny him 3 times. He'd come back. He'd see Jesus on the shore. He'd be up in his boats. He didn't care if he was stripped down, break down, whatever. He jumped out of that boat and says, I'm the first one there. You couldn't keep him from the Word. He had found such an experience with the Word that he couldn't leave it. No matter how many times the Word got up in his face. Because he gets to the shore. And he says, Peter, when you're old, you're going to be led to this place. Jesus says, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. 3 times. And all of a sudden the revelation dawns on Peter. Oh, hear the words after me again. Oh, Lord Jesus, what do I do? And he breaks down crying. He says, it's going to be all right, Peter. rebuked. You know what? If I call one of you Satan, what do you do? Well, you're not the Word.
Oh.
But aren't I?
Amen.
You might try and make something personal. With your neighbor, with your brother and sister. They can get all mad at you all they want. But what they might not realize is that they're dealing with the Word.
Mama.
You can't shun the Word.
Right. Amen. Mom.
The Word can say what it was. But it didn't matter what the Word said to Peter. He always knew that the Word was there.
Right. Amen.
The revelation of the location of the Word was revealed to Peter. Don't you love God? Yep, I haven't put any of this together. I just let go and let God. But you see, Jesus... Why do you say? He said, sanctify thy by the truth. He said, the truth is thy word. He knew that all they had to do was receive the word and they would be
at the time of the manifestation for the works. If he could just get them established that this was the Word. And finally in John 17, he comes out and he says, they've received you. They've took the words that I've said. Everything that come out of my mouth, they knew it come from you. And he says, don't worry. The works are coming. Doesn't matter if you're hiding or if you're a coward. Because if you've received that word, don't worry. Your time is coming.
Lord, amen.
Now, I perhaps want to just read a little bit more of this. And I know where the time's at, but I just want to read a few more things. It doesn't matter if I study or not. I'm still going to go an hour. I'm still going an hour and 15 by the grace of God. You know, that's just the way it is. I preach, and when I feel like God is telling me to quiet down a little bit, I just quiet down. But until then, I just keep on going. Just remember what was preached last Wednesday now, church. Brother Dave did, remember? All right. So notice what this is. And I'm going to jump this quote here. In 166-1, I'm going to move down. And Brother Bram's talking about receiving the word. He said, you know, I'm just going to read the whole thing. He says, did you get that last thought? I repeat, every church age ends with the same admonition. He that hath ear, let him, an individual, hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. The Spirit gives the word. He has the truth for each age. Each age has had its own elect, and that elect group always heard the word.
Amen.
And received it, proving they had the seed in them. So what was it? It was the fulfillment of the prophecy and revelation to the individuals in the message for their hour. Laodicea, that's talking about you. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. But you know what the amazing thing about that is? You have to hear the same thing that Pergamos heard. Because you've got to overcome that. Oh, these church ages are pretty important now, aren't they? Oh, I might make a rapture. Oh, you better overcome Pergamos now. So notice here, it says in John 8:47, it says, and he that is of God heareth God's words, yet ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. They refuse the word. Now notice that. They refuse the word. Now notice in parentheses. Was it the words? Or was it the word? Is this speaking about what was coming out of the mouth, or was it talking about the person? By this revelation, it was the person. That's why God was letting me read that. I forgot about that. They refuse the word Jesus and his words. So you have to receive the person and the words. But the true seed received the word because they were of God. Attributes of God. Isaiah 54:13, it says, and all thy children shall be taught of God. It says Holy Spirit in parentheses. It says, Jesus said the same thing in John 6:45. Being one with the word proves whether you are of God and spirit filled. No other criterion. So, now, the only criterion that proves you have the Holy Ghost is if you are one with the Word.
Amen.
So,
So the only way that you will know your spirit filled is if first you know that you and the Word are one. So I can look around. I say, brother, sister, how do you know that you're spirit filled? You say, well, I had an experience. Well, I know my Bible. I know more than everybody else in this church. Have you seen how much I got memorized? Have you seen the gifts in my life? The only criterion to judge that your spirit fell is if you know you and the Word are one. So I ask you, are you and the Word one? I love this because in John 14, 18, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now notice, he says, 19 verse, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Okay, but notice this, next verse, he says in the 20th verse, at that day, he's telling them, without revelation, I am the comforter, I will be in you. The world don't see me, but I'll be in you. But here they are, without revelation, and he says, at that day. At that day? Look, at that day ye shall know that I am in thy Father, and ye in me, and I in you. So, you see, there's a problem here. There's a problem here. Because you know what that means? That means that after he told them this, they didn't know that Jesus was in the Father and Jesus was in them. You know what that means? After Christ resurrected, showed himself to them, they didn't know that Jesus was in the Father. And the Father was in them. And Jesus was in them. At that point in time, they didn't know that I am the vine, ye are the branches. If ye abide in me, you'll have much fruit. Talking about a bunch of cowards now, hiding away. But they were only fulfilling the Word. And when the Word spoke this, he said, at that day, you'll know. But wait a minute. We just read a quote that says your only criterion is to know that you and Christ are one. But no other experience would reveal that to them but that experience. A backslid experience, wouldn't it reveal it? Say, 20 years ago, I got something. You know what? If it's still not there, wasn't revealed. Because remember, if you receive the Holy Ghost in this age, it's not a going down time. It's a going up time.
I ain't trying to tell everybody, ain't nobody got the Holy Ghost. But I'm trying to show you the revealed word. Because remember in this age, what would this age be? It would be the age of a lack of identity. The whole purpose of this age was to bring you back to your original identity. So that says that within this age, you would have an identity crisis. You would not know who you were. Until the full revealed word in its season would bring you to that place. But until there, it didn't matter if Christ had it written there, shown there, you still didn't know it. Before I preached the Old Testament church age, how many of you could have told me the whole thing? I couldn't even have told you that. Because it wasn't my revelation. Well, how can I make something happen that only God can determine? How can you make the experience you want with God when you don't determine anything? I'm not going to get to where I want to get. Because look at that. But that's all right, because there's another time. All right? But the purpose of all this is I want to show you exactly with what you're dealing with. You realize this? Everything is depending on the revelation, the season of the revelation. Everything is. Right? We know the prophet restored the word. But when are the people going to come to the revelation of the restored word? Because we know what the word said that would produce. So if we don't see that, it's showing us that we're not in that season yet. Now, I ain't talking about no Laodicean lazy boy laying back and saying, okay, I give, or I can't do nothing about my experience. I ain't talking about that. Because if you are a Christian, you will genuinely feel absolutely defeated and miserable until you're right with God. And you'll do everything in your power while you're failing to desire more. Come on! There's a little lion anointing lingering, church. You just got to press into it. So notice here, as we're getting ready to finish here, 165-1 says here in 1 Corinthians 14:37, says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So notice what the first church angel messenger is saying. He said that if you think you're a prophet or spiritual, it didn't matter if you thought you were on his level or not. It didn't matter if, and we know by the message, we find out that Paul, he was pretty much the pastor of Ephesus for a while, and we find that by scripture and so forth. But you see that here, Paul says, if you think you're a prophet or you're spiritual, listen to what I got to tell you. He's taking his position as the angel of Ephesus. Now, let me just read you a little bit more on that because we're missing a scripture here and I believe it's very important. 1 Corinthians 14:36. He says, now notice he's just getting done talking about women being up loud in the church. Okay? Now in the 36th verse, he says, what? Now I'm starting to wonder. I know this is a letter, but I'm wondering if he wouldn't say, what? Came the word of God out from you. Who's he talking to? Corinthians. And he's saying to them, did the word come from you? Living Waters Tabernacle, did the word come from you? Continue. Or came it unto you
only. Were you the receiver of this revelation? Are you the only one in this world that believes this? And then he comes back around to 37 verse and says, if you think you're a prophet, or if you think you're spiritual, Brother Cam, if you think you're spiritual, or you think you got some great revelation, you better acknowledge what the angel has to say. Don't never uplift yourself over the angel. Because the angel to the church age messenger receives the revelation of that age. And I pray that I fulfilled that. And I pray as Living Waters Tabernacle we fulfilled that. So notice here, in continuing on, so notice what this is. He's saying, okay, the word, God gave that to you. The word coming out of it, don't worry, you ain't the only one that has it. But you make sure you have it. But you better make sure you're looking at the angel. Okay? Now, like commentators like Gill and Barnes and so forth, they just destroy them. Because on the commentaries on this, they say, what do you think Paul's trying to tell them here? Paul's telling them that you're off the word. That's why Paul is saying that. Remember, he just got done saying, you don't have love. He just got done saying, that tongues ain't everything. Your revelation ain't everything. Your psalm ain't everything. Your revelation ain't everything. He's absolutely rebuking them because they're acting like they are the message of the hour. Like God couldn't come and remove it from them or raise somebody else up. So notice here, he says, and continuing on our quote 165-1, brother, he says, now see that? The proof of the indwelling Spirit was to acknowledge, the proof of the indwelling Spirit was to acknowledge and follow what God's prophet gave for his age as he set the church in order. Paul had to say to those who claimed another revelation in verse 36. So wait a minute. Now we're finding another proof of the indwelling is to actually never get yourself to a place that you think you have something as great as the angel. But notice, this gets a little bit more profound. He says here, what came the word of God out from you or came it unto you only? The evidence of a spirit-filled Christian believer is not to produce the truth or the word, but to receive the truth or the word and to believe and obey it. So notice what this is saying now. Isn't this amazing? Because you'll find that in Revelation 22:17, it says the Spirit and the Bride say, come. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says in every church age. You have to hear what the Spirit is saying. But the Spirit isn't revealing to you what the angel didn't already highlight. It has to be in the message. And why is this important? Because literally said here, the evidence of a spirit-filled Christian believer is not to produce the truth. The truth has already been produced.
Has the word already been restored or has it not been restored? The word has been restored. I don't need to produce the truth. The truth or the word has already been brought to the age. There's no eighth messenger. I ain't riding no trail. The Holy Ghost might. But that's it. All I have to do, the evidence of a spirit-filled Christian believer, is to receive the word. Receive again? Didn't Jesus say to the apostles, or the disciples, he said, "You received me"? Don't we find that all through the book of Acts? They received the word. And they received the word gladly. And here we find that the thing is not for me to find the great untold mystery. The thing I need to do is obey what has already been revealed and to receive it. Isn't that amazing? Because Christ spoke to the angel, and the angel revealed the word. See, the prophet of God was not revealing a new message. It was already laid up in the word. So not even the prophet gets the credit for producing the word. The Spirit produced the word. Christ produces the word. But God anointed the angel, who was specially built in every age, to bring forth that word. And all he asks you to do is have an ear and listen to what he says. Receive the word. Well, I like the seventh angel, but I don't like Brother Cam. Well, if Brother Cam's not the word, you're okay. But if Brother Cam is the word, you got a problem. Well, wait a minute. How's Brother Cam the word? Am I Jesus Christ? We know what the message says. If I claim myself to be the person, I am Antichrist. But if the word or the Holy Ghost, the same one he said he'd fill the Acts disciples with, is in me, that would mean that the word presence is there. I become one with Christ. In that day you should know that I am the Father in me and I in you. Well, has that day come or not? Don't you understand why this is so difficult in this age? Well, we're all saying, okay, Holy Ghost, blah, 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 Holy Ghost, blah, blah, blah. Because there's been so much discrepancy with the word. Well, don't you understand? The white horse rider, that was a little close deception, but it didn't pull them all away. Pergamos was the big drift away from the word that pulled them into the dark ages. Now, I say this, I hope that God, we're not at Pergamos and got to go through the dark ages yet. I hope that we're just going through our mixture in God's season and we're walking right through them. Because I know what I've been fighting. And what I've been fighting has been dark the whole time. Right? But if I catch the revelation that this is predestinated, God knew this church was going to be like this. Well, you see, God could come back around and prophesy on several of you, prophesy to the church in general, and lay all that stuff down. Why? Because the Spirit of God will show you things to come. Well, if you don't believe it, that's fine. But, everybody, we have to get to a place where we believe this. Either believe it or you don't believe it. Every one of us. I mean, we might as well just, hey, let's keep on drying up. Why does God prophesy to you? Why does he show you things to come? You want some deep theology? Because I'm not going to give it to you. But I'm going to tell you that he shows you things to come so it can help identify you. It can show you that the season that you're going through is not the identification of what you are. But you can take that and when you can... Now, let me say this just very quickly here as I start getting excited again. But you see, when God tells you great things are going to happen, or this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, that is telling you. Now, God didn't tell you put a $50 bill on the plate and you're going to be blessed 1,000-fold. But God told you that deliverance would happen here, and God would be among you. The Holy Ghost would be here. And he told you that because the Bible says that the whole creation moaneth and groaneth for the manifestations of the sons of God. That's your manifestation. Just like Christ would go through in his word and reveal more and more about the virgin birth. God lays the word about you in your season. You see what the word says. Okay, the manifestations of the sons of God are coming. But God comes to you and reveals the word more. Shows you a little bit more what's going to happen in you. Shows you a little bit more about what you are. And you pick up strength. You say, oh, this is all right. I mean, I'm just fulfilling the word for this season. But I'm coming to that. I'm not looking at this anymore. I can't look at this.
I can't look at this. I don't know where they're by the pew.
I can't look at that. All I can look and say, it's been 25 years. This is going to be even greater when God fulfills the promise.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord. Amen. Oh. Yeah. Amen.
Gets down to two people. Or, well, let's not forget my family. They're not going anywhere. Gets down to five of us if the baby hasn't been born yet. I'm just preaching to one person, my wife, as hard as I can. Because you know why? It just makes the promise greater.
Brother Cam's running me out of the church.
No. I'm just using an analogy. But you have to understand. You have to understand that you don't look around you. You look at the promise. The promise shows what you are. Don't look at the word you're fulfilling because you already know the word says that. You have to look about what the word says you're going to be. That's what showed that Abraham could not stagger because he didn't look at the condition. He looked at what he was. But the difference here is you have the full revealed word right now that says what you are, what they were, and what you're going to be. Abraham's looking up in the sky and looking at a pyramid trying to figure this thing out. So God sends Melchizedek to him and reveals it just a little bit more. The word revealed it to him. He knew it would happen. He received the word in person and by word. Let's stand. So where are you at?
Oh, my experience is so dry.
Well, you've accepted the promised condition of this hour. But if something in you says,
oh God, I'm dry. I'm pretty stagnant. But God, I know I'm breaking out of this thing, God.
I'm going to keep on fighting. I'm going to make it through this. The devil can't hold me back. What are you doing? You're acting like a son or daughter of God. Because a son or daughter of God, he said, look, famine, I got to be in a famine. I got to accept this. No, because you're the overcomer. You're not the fulfillment. You ain't the young virgins and young men that faint for thirst and everything else like that. They need you. You're the one that actually finds the Word. Oh, Lord Jesus, I'm going to go another half hour. Come on. Is it this hard? Do you realize how simple this is? Oh, living waters. God, what are you going to do? God, I don't understand. I already know what's going to happen. That's why I'm smiling. Because I know what's going to happen because I already know what God promised.
Amen.
Boy, Brother Cam's crazy. No, I'm the Word. I got the Word.
Amen.
You come in my life, you say, Brother Cam, you're not a good studier. Brother Cam, you're not a prayer warrior praying 6 hours a day like all these other brothers. You're not like all these pastors who don't work. You know, they don't have to have full-time jobs because they're such good preachers that people actually go to their church. I don't care what you got to say. You don't think I want to get out of this job? I'm sitting here TIG welding. I'm like, oh, God, get me out of here. I'm sweating like a pigs don't sweat. I've been reprimanded about 6 times. I've been telling I preached the wrong word because I said pigs sweat. Okay? That's a saying, too. But by the grace of God, you know what? I don't care if pigs sweat or pigs don't sweat. But the truth of it is, when you're sweating, you are sweating. Okay? But what is it? I can't change the details of my life if God don't change them. I ain't running to make something happen. God gave me that job. When God wants to take it away, He'll take it away. And I'm ready at any time, even if it's tomorrow. Hopefully it's 7, but I might not get there. But it's the same thing for your life. You know what? You can't change your details. You have to accept what God has given every one of you.
Right.
Accept it. Be content with whatever state, every detail of your life. Accept it. You know what I found? Doesn't matter if I work a full-time job, if I study an hour or 2 hours or 6 hours or 10 hours, God still delivers His message. I get up here, doesn't matter if my lights are out, my computer broke down and took all my files and broke everything else, and my dog's in the ground. It doesn't matter because I'm not looking at that.
Amen. Yeah.
I don't care if a tree killed my blueberry bushes. I don't care.
Amen. Yeah.
The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You fanatic. Praise God, I'm a fanatic. And I'm going to be a fanatic till Jesus comes back. I feel better. But it's the same thing for you. You know what? We got to step up. I don't care where you're from, who you're from, or what town you live in, or it doesn't matter. I don't care where you expect to be, where you think you should be. What's God put on your plate? Every one of us. Oh, I'm in a desert. Get out of the desert. I didn't get where I wanted to get tonight because I got more stuff on this.
Lord.
There's a lot in this message, I'm telling you. This Pergamos. Woo! I know I got long-winded tonight, but Brother Simon did it the other day. So it's okay if I do it. It's all his fault. No, we're just found leading His Spirit, okay? But it's okay because, you know, we're happy people. I'm tired. That's okay. I want to let God preach. I ain't worried about how tired I am. Are you tired? Or you just want to let God preach? You want me to keep preaching? Say, no, I want God to preach. Now you're catching a revelation. Ooh, stirring. It's okay. I know, a little jokey. That's all right. Because you know what? I'm not always joking. Now you know me. I don't joke all the time. But when I get up here, sometimes I get jokey. I used to be jokey all the time. I found out when I get up here, sometimes I just feel so anointed, I just start joking around. I'm not joking because I'm working with the truth, if you understand what I'm saying. But it's kind of got to lighten the atmosphere a little bit, to get you to say, okay, boy, you know what? If you know what they say? You remember what they said? They said, if they can get you to laugh at it, you'll accept it. Maybe that's what God's doing. I don't know. I'm not God, but you know, sometimes jokes come out. Praise God. You love God? Do you understand a little bit more about yourself? You understand a little bit more about what God's doing? Don't worry about producing everything. You worry about getting the word where it needs to be in your life. God, help me. God, help this church. God, help every individual here. God, give us the word. Hallelujah. You love God? We're going to pray. We're going to invite Brother Dave. If you have need of prayer, after we pray, you can come up. As we pray, if you have something to say to your husband, the Lord you serve, you can go ahead and say it to him. Talk to him a little bit. He's your husband. He's mine too. I'm not your mediator. Let's just pray. Most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God. God, how great a revelation. How simple this comes by, God. And I didn't have that put together before service, God. You know that. But God, that's how you wanted it put together, Lord. And I accept it, Lord. And I see how it's revealed after you spoke it, God. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, for putting everything on the plate that needed to be there, God. And you are the one that ordered it, God. I just ask, oh God, that you just allow it to anchor. Just like last Wednesday, let that word anchor in our hearts, God. Let that word stir us, God. Let that word move us back into position, Lord. We want to accept that word right now, God. Lord, I accept it, Lord. I want to be at a place you can't chase me away. You can't ignore me away. You can't, oh God, you can't rebuke me away, God. I don't care if I hear you, if I see you, God. I believe this word, God. I receive it, Lord. God, move us into condition, I pray. Lord, just continue, Lord. We need you to preach here. We need you to speak, God. We need a God who's with his people. Order your word, God, and order our steps in your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Just sing songs. We invite Brother Dave up. You need prayer, we'll be happy to pray with you tonight. I hope you enjoy God. Don't you enjoy? There's nothing like this message, church. There is nothing like this message. I don't care how many books they write about it, how many videos they produce. There ain't nothing that's true like this message is true. I am convinced. I believe the sign. Amen. Let's sing that song. Lord, I believe in you. I'll always believe in you. Peter said, Lord, I believe in you. I'll always believe in you. You can't get rid of me, God. I'm yours. I know I'm yours. And Lord, I believe in you. Ooh, I'll always believe in you. And though I can't see, oh, you with my eyes, deep in my heart, your presence I'll find. And Lord, I believe in you. I'll always put my trust in you. Just let this whole world, let it say what they may. Hallelujah! No one can take this joy away. Lord, I believe. I believe in you, Lord. See?
stepped out into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart. And here I am to worship. Here I am.
just sing that song, Behold the Lamb of God. Amen. Worthy, so worthy, worthy. sing that little chorus, I need thee, Lord, I need thee, every hour I need thee. How many just, after hearing a sermon like that, just makes you need him that much more? Amen. How gracious he is to us, saints.
Oh, Lord, I need thee, oh, I need thee, oh, every hour I need thee, bless me now, my Savior, for I come to thee. Lord, I need thee. Oh, I need thee.